Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start out with a free sermon. It's my introduction to the introduction. What's our theme for this prayer advance?
Worship.
Yes. Well, before we develop that theme, I want to ask a question. Why a prayer advance? Why a prayer advance? Get us back in line. That's exactly right. Yeah, three reasons I want to briefly go over why we even have a prayer advance. Number one, because God calls men as heads of households to remove themselves from their daily activities to seek His face in a multi-day event. I believe that's important for men to do that. It's commanded in the Old Testament. Three times in a year, all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. So that is, all the men were to leave their homes from all over Israel and travel to Jerusalem three times a year. We see this is a common event in the New Testament, as well as being commanded in the Old Testament for that specific reason. The apostles, when they were called on top of a mountain. What were they doing on the mountain? They were camping out. Jesus had prayed all night on the mountain, Mark 3:13. They were up in the mountain, all the men together, and from that group of men, He called the apostles. Luke 6:12, now it came to pass in those days, He went out on a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them, He chose 12 whom He named apostles. We see in the Transfiguration. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. Mark 9:2. So we see often in the New Testament, Jesus calling a group of men to get away, going up on a mountain apart by themselves, and there He would reveal Himself to them. He took them up to Caesarea Philippi, and He asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" So we see in the Old Testament, we see in the New Testament, God calling men to get away apart by themselves, a group of men, where God would reveal Himself to him as a group of men or by themselves. Perhaps the greatest reason to get away and pray is the example of Jesus Christ Himself. As we read in the New Testament, what's Jesus always doing? He's always with people. He's always ministering. He's always doing good. People are loving Him. People are hating Him. And then He gets away and prays, right? He is busy. I mean, is there anyone here who's more busy than Jesus? Huh? Is anyone here have more pressure on them than Jesus did? No! And what did Jesus constantly do? He got away and prayed. Is anyone here more perfect than Jesus? No! But what did He constantly do? He prayed all night before He chose the apostles. What does this tell us about getting away and praying? It's important! Yes, thank you, Hazlitt. It's important! Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him, searching, and they found, "Everyone's looking for You, Jesus! Where are You doing?" "I'm away praying." Mark 1:35, therefore, when He perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed to a mountain by Himself alone. He was always going away, praying by Himself. Mark 6:46, and when He sent them away, He departed to a mountain to pray. We see this pattern in Jesus' life. Jesus departed from the demands of daily life and prayed. So, we see this commanded, at least as men getting away in the festival times in the Old Testament. We see this, the apostles being chosen from a group of men. We see groups of men going away into the desert and mountains and places to pray. And we see it certainly in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I believe God calls men away to pray. It's an example in the Scripture, and it's wise for us to follow. That's the first reason. Second reason, why should we have a prayer advance, is because our mission depends upon it. Our mission depends upon it. We do need the prayer. We do need the time to get away because we get out of focus. We need a deepening of our faith. And so, our mission depends upon it. Again, Scripture says, "For I will cast out," in the Old Testament, "I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders God will do the mission when his people remove themselves and search him out and pray. He says, I will do this. The Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples. All of these things depend upon your prayer life. Prayer is a matter of first importance. Before we do anything, we must pray. We can do more after we pray, but we really can't do much before we pray. Before we're right with the Lord. In the Word, praying His Word, seeking His face. Even the Great Commission, Luke 10:2, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. What do? Pray. Right? Certainly you need to go. Certainly you need to go share the gospel. Certainly there's work to do. But you don't do the work without praying. You do the work by praying on your face before God. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. The power of the church depends on its men praying. Paul calls out the men specifically. Men need to lead in prayer. 2 Timothy 3:15. We know that 1 Timothy was written, as Paul said, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Okay? So the church is established to support the truth. It's not the source of the truth. It's the support of the truth. Oh, and a chapter before that, he says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, holding up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Do you think the support of truth in the church is dependent upon men praying? Absolutely. In this text here, 2 Timothy 2, he's calling out specific gender. Two things. He wants the women to be modest. He wants the men to pray. Two things that we all struggle with, right? Women with their modesty, men with their prayer. And specifically, he wants the men to pray, lifting up their hands in prayer, not in wrath, because men are prone to be angry and destroy their faith, and they're prone to doubt. Men, support the truth in the church by prayer. A foundational way the church supports the truth is by praying men. Yet we know men are distracted. They have doubts, and the doubts lead them to distractions, and the distractions lead them away from the Lord, and they struggle because they're distracted. So what's the answer to that? Get away and pray. Certainly you need to pray every morning. Certainly you need to seek the face of the Lord every morning. But you also need time to get away from daily life and pray. We have a prayer advance to get men out of their comfort zone. Men need to be out of their comfort zone, and so do the boys. You teenagers do too. Right? I'm not leaving anybody out here. We need to be out of our comfort zone. So it's great. We got a great spot here, don't we? We've been here, I think one of my boys asked me, how long have we been coming to this spot? We 5 years, we went to other spots. We've been here 10 years, I think 9 or 10 years at this spot. This is hallowed ground. And this is out of our comfort zone. We're unplugged for the most part, right? Unplug, get away, so you can remove the distractions to seek the face of the Lord in the desert. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That means listen, take heed, give an account of yourself and how you relate to God, His doctrine, His Word, and continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So getting away to a prayer advance, taking time out of your busy schedule, like Jesus did, and praying and seeking the face of God, is not just for you. It's for you, your marriage, your family. This isn't just like guy time. This is like survival time with God, to get right with God so that I can go back sharper, more focused, ready to do battle with the enemy who's trying to destroy me at every level, trying to knock down your marriage, trying to destroy your children. And you think you're going to do that without getting away and praying? Why do you think the church is so powerless? Because the men don't pray. Why are the pulpits so weak? Because the pastors don't pray. There was a list of priorities that were given to pastors, and the very bottom of the list was prayer. My goodness. This is like the top of the list. This is the priority. And so we need this time to get away and pray so that we can get away in other times and pray. We need to pray so that we pray so that we're in tune enough to pray. Sometimes I have to get away in the morning to pray just to remind myself that I need to pray in the day because I'll forget. So, taking heed to yourself and to the doctrine, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:16, is not a one-dimensional thing. It's not supposed to be, right? Fathers, your daughters need to understand what worship is. What you're learning for worship, you need to share with your daughters, right? So I ask the men here to give a definition of worship, and I hope you men also are doing this with your daughters, especially your older daughters. My daughters are kind of little, right? But this is for you and for your sons and for your daughters and for your wives. But you need to take heed to the doctrine because you have the responsibility to walk in this out. You got that? The stone drops in the water, what's it do? It has a ripple effect, right? So this isn't just for a one dimension. It's the ripple effect. So men, our mission depends upon this as men to get away and to pray, okay? And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:16. We need to reverse the curse. That curse we are under. This America is under it, definitely. The symptoms are everywhere, right? And it's found its way pretty heavy in the church, too. Churches are not functioning multi-generational places. There's a curse among us, and we need to break the curse. You think the curse just breaks? Oh, I just think I won't sin anymore. You ever tried that? No, God, help me! Turn my heart, turn my heart, turn my heart! Turn my heart to you, turn my heart to my family, turn my heart to love. So, our mission depends on it. Number three is this. God deals with any excuses. The passage I've been quoting in the Old Testament is Exodus 34:23-24. And I'll read in its entirety here. Exodus 34. Three times in a year, all your men shall appear before the Lord, God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your border. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before Yahweh your God three times in a year. So if you had to leave your land and travel a day's journey to Jerusalem, what would you be concerned about? Is someone going to come and take my land? Who's going to, if the man is gone, who's going to protect, right? And God says, I got your excuses. I'll deal with your excuses. Well, I can't get away. I've got work to do. I can't get away. I've got too much to do. I tell you what, God deals with your excuses. There's no excuse. Well, unless you're like my son Alex, who's chronically sick, right? Other than that, like you're really ill, you have no excuse not to get away and pray. Unless, of course, you're as busy as Jesus. I don't think so. And he always got a way to pray. He didn't always do it when he wanted to, but he always found a way to do it. God deals with your excuses. Amen? He deals with your excuses. And if you don't like the Exodus 34:23-34 passage, you can go to Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these other things will be added unto you. The problem there, Jesus had made very clear, is what? O you of little faith. It's not that you have excuses as to why you can't get away to pray. You don't have the faith to get away to pray. Amen? Are we starting out on a good foot? This is why we have this prayer advance. So, you're here. What do you expect? I expect God to move in our hearts. That's what we're praying. I expect God to move in our hearts. For us, as men, young men, our families, and by God's grace for future generations. Amen? Lord God, we thank you for this prayer advance. We thank you for this time. We have to get away and pray. I pray you bless this time. I know you will. Thank you, Lord, for the preparations that were made. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you meet with us here. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.